Okay, you all, we'll begin now the heart of the lesson. Again, you all, our lesson is entitled, Is It Lawful to Heal on the Sabbath? Again, our passage comes from Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 1 through 6. I'll read this passage once again as it introduces us to our lesson. And it begins in verse 1 as follows. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, If one of you have a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day? And they could not reply to this. Now, you all, our title for our lesson this evening, it presents to us, you all, an amazing question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Y'all, if that question was asked today, well, that question would be better posed, what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath? You see, y'all, the Sabbath was designated as a holy day. After the fulfillment of the Mosaic law and the manifestation of the age of the church, the holy day becomes Sunday. Thus, he rose on the third day. Early one Sunday morning, he rose. And since the institution of the Blue Laws legislation in 1933 and the referendum in 1961 in Philadelphia were based on dealing with all of the laws and the complaints that went on concerning, you know, consumers' desires versus the vendor's desire, at the end of the day, the law came out covering the Blue Law institution is that no vendor can be deprived of the utilization of his property, asset, of physical capabilities to further his pursuit of success on any day of a seven-day week, meaning what? That there was the potential of a holy community aura on a day that was designated. Now, the Sabbath, you all, was also an occasion for a holy or religious meal. We all remember, you all, those unique Sunday dinners that we used to enjoy after church. Specifically, when we compare them to the ones that we enjoy during the course of the week. Y'all, this Sabbath, the one that Jesus attended on the Sunday that we're studying about, y'all, this particular Sabbath day and the meal that Jesus was at, it was invaded. It was invaded by a sick man who seemed to be hoping for healing. No words are spoken between the man and Jesus, but the movement of the incident is to put compassion before the law. You know, this is a constant theme of Jesus throughout his life and the gospel. So Jesus, he acknowledges that you all, how hypocritical hearts cannot refute the legitimacy of compassion and mercy towards those who are suffering. And first of all, you all, Jesus, he never shied away from controversy. He took advantage of confrontational encounters in order that he could expose hypocritical and basically demonstrate his love and compassion and mercy towards those who were suffering. He was particularly skillful also, you all, at applying his wisdom to shut down the mouths of his opponents who could offer no response to his devastating arguments and irrefutable illustrations. Because this just intensified the opposition on the part of the proud, the self-righteous religious leaders who were embarrassed by their inability to stand their ground with Jesus. So they were always forced to retreat publicly and then regroup privately to try to come up with some attacks that they can throw at Jesus once again. So I guess the question, you all, is when is it appropriate to show compassion and mercy towards those who are suffering. Well, you all, as Jesus has taught earlier in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it is always our responsibility to take action when confronted personally with such suffering. Just as Jesus suspected, you all, the controversial confrontation with hypocritical hearts, they present themselves now. Verse 1 and 2. First, verse 1, you all, we see where it begins when it says the context of, we have before us the context of scrutiny, where it says, and it came about when Jesus went into a house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread. Now, Luke says, you all, that they were watching him closely. You all, Jesus' host was an important man. Well, the Greek may mean a ruler, perhaps even a member of the Sanhedrin Council, who's also a member of the Pharisaic Party, or it can signify you are a leading Pharisee. You see, dinner on the Sabbath often seems you ought to have a rather special meaning, because the food oftentimes already being prepared beforehand, and it was common to invite guests. So they were watching him carefully. Well, who were watching him carefully? Who were they watching carefully? The man in need? No. You know, they were watching Jesus. Now, they were watching Jesus not out of reverence or respect. They were not watching Jesus, you all, because they were hanging on to every word and they were ready to do his bidding and every wish as he commands. You know, they were watching him because they suspected him. They did not trust his teaching or his presence and his practices, especially on the issue of the Sabbath day. See, Jesus always said the right thing at the right time and in the right way. He never forgot you all for a moment, you know, what he was there for and where he was. The example of Christ, you all, is a passage that deserves the close attention of all Christians, and especially of the ministers of the gospel. See, it throws a strong light on the most difficult points. For example, our fellowship with unconverted people, the extent to which we should carry it, the manner in which we should carry it, the manner in which we should behave when we are with these people. Our Lord has left us, you all, a pattern for our conduct in this chapter, and it will be our wisdom to endeavor, you all, to walk as his steps directs us, to walk in the Spirit. We ought not draw completely away from those who are uncoveted, because it would be unproductive for us to do so. And even if it was possible, you all, it would isolate us from ever having the opportunity of being able to perform divine good. But we ought to, you all, go into their society moderately, watchfully, and prayerfully, and with a firm resolution to carry our master and our master's business with us. You see, y'all, we are required to reflect Christ in our compassion towards those who are suffering. Now, verse number 2, it says, and there in front of him was a certain man suffering from dropsy. Was this this trap situation actually staged by the Pharisees? Most likely. Your dropsy, also called edema, is a swelling of the joints or the whole body. This condition is often due to a faulty heart or to a diseased kidney or liver. Jesus, he could have told the man to come back later this afternoon, maybe in the evening, so then I'll heal you. That way he'd have been able to avoid the confrontation with the Pharisees. But you all, Jesus did not do that. Jesus healed the man right then and there, and then he turned and verbally confronted the critics. So dropsy, you all, is edema. Dropsy was water retention, accumulation of serious fluids in the tissue and in the blood cavity. It was bloating, if you will. In itself, y'all, it is not a disease, but it is a symptom of a disease. There'll be a number of things, serious compromises in the liver, our kidneys, of our heart, or even all three of them. It's kind of a bloating, which indicates your perhaps congestive heart failure. It could be liver disease. You know, alcoholism was very relative and relevant back in the ancient days. And alcoholism can fill the abdomen with gallons of fluid. When pumped out, it will return. Now the controversial question, pointing to the legitimacy of compassion and mercy towards those who are suffering. The question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Your Jesus had no problems addressing the elephant in the room. Your the clear implication of all of this is that your deeds of mercy, they are always in order on the Sabbath. See, the question is simplicity itself. And men like these, you all, they ought evidently to know and be able to answer this question immediately. Surely, y'all, they knew whether it was, in harmony with the law or in conflict with the law to heal on the Sabbath. But they were quiet, which, of course, is stronger than silent. Strange indeed, y'all, that no one spoke up. Y'all, no one came forward to do so. And there is no whispering, even among themselves. All y'all are motionless. The eyes, they're fixed on Jesus. The situation, it becomes dramatic as the Lord looks around and he waits you all. He waits for a reply. He waits until you all, it was clear to him that he would never get one. So here we see you all with a very touchy matter. Their traditions, their teachings, it clearly forbade such healing. The law of Moses, y'all, however, did not forbid healing on the Sabbath. Therefore, if the Sabbath was made for men, for the benefit and blessings, how could one refrain from healing on a Sabbath if they had the ability to do so? So let us notice this passage here, you all, how our Lord asserts the lawfulness in the doing deeds of mercy on the Sabbath day. The qualifications which our Lord here puts on the requirements of the fourth commandment is evidently all based on scripture, reason, and common sense. The Sabbath was made for man, for his benefit, not for his harm, for his advantage, not for his disadvantage. Interpreting God's law, you all, about the Sabbath was never meant to infringe upon charity, kindness, and the real needs of human nature. Our Lord shows us, you all, that deeds of necessity and mercy do not break the observance of the Sabbath. But how does the Pharisees respond? Silence. But they kept silent, afraid to get into any type of debate with Jesus. Now, why do we think that they remain silent? Well, one reason is this. Y'all, these Jews, they could not point out one single verse or word in the law of Moses that forbade the healing of a person on the Sabbath. Not one verse of the Old Testament would substantiate a prohibition on Jesus, the Lord of glory, healing somebody, anybody on the Sabbath, or anybody being healed on the Sabbath. And yet, you all, they believe that Jesus' ministry, his practice, compromised the Sabbath. And so, you all, they were locked in on him. And yet, you all, when he challenges them, is it right or not? Nobody speaks up. You see, y'all, because they can't quote the Bible. Now, y'all, this is very important because, see, Jesus, he's not saying, y'all, what the Bible says about the Sabbath, y'all, is important to the Pharisees. What he's saying is that you have added to the Bible, and thus you have diminished the authority of the Bible. You see, Jesus makes it very clear that our place for final spiritual authority and faith and practices is found in the Bible, not in the doctrines of and commandments of man, not in the additions that people come up with, however pious those ideas are, whatever the good motivations are for them coming up with these extra things. You see, we're not to burden the people of God with extra added commandments. This is one of the points that conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus, he implies you all that as we look at verses 4 through 6, it tells us that, first of all, the controversial healing, now it silences any possible refutation of showing compassion and mercy. This is being dramatic action. Luke says in verse 4b, he says, "And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away." First of all, you all, Jesus, he took hold of the man. Secondly, Jesus, he healed the man. And lastly, Jesus sent the man away. Frankly, you all, this man's infirmity had been used by the Pharisees. Jesus graciously healed the man, but he would not leave that man there to be humiliated. But how would the Pharisees have humiliated him? And what does it mean that he would be humiliated? Well, Jesus had already, you all, drawn attention to the errors of the teaching of the Pharisees as it relates to the healing on the Sabbath. Jesus was now about to show them their hypocrisy in terms of their own practice. I believe, you all, that Jesus did not want this man to be among those who were about to be rebuked and perhaps even shamed for using, no better word, for exploiting one who was infirm. And so he sent him away. This is an act, you all, of mercy and grace, just as the healing had been. Now Jesus, of course, in his irrefutable justification is found in verse number 5. It says, "And he said to them, which one of you shall have a son or ox fall into a well and would not immediately pull him out on Sabbath?" From this, you all, it is evident that they also recognize the principle that cases of real emergency push the ceremonial Sabbath laws aside. So they are hypocritical, if you all, they censor Jesus for healing on Sabbath days. The sick, you are the physical and the spiritual distress. Although in most cases, you all, there is no immediately peril to the lives of these guys, but their suffering and their distressing condition in which they find themselves are such that you all, love demands them being healed without delay. So Jesus, you all, he implies that such a deed, whatever strenuous work is involved, would be perfectly lawful. Shall the same love which require no labor at all be denied a fellow man? What again, you all, is their response? Again, the Bible says, silence, as we conclude verse number 6. And they could make no reply to this. Your Jesus, he exposed the false piety of the Pharisees and the scribes. You see, they claim to be defending God's Sabbath laws. Then in reality, y'all, they were actually denying God by the way they abused people and accused the Savior. There is a big difference between protecting God's truth and promoting man's traditions. This is why you all, the believer, must always be vigilant of the dangers of religion and tradition. You see, oftentimes tradition turns into biases, and a bias turns into a taboo. And certainly a taboo is nothing more than a personal prejudice towards something or someone, which we know is not a part of the nature of the kingdom of heaven. So the question is, once again, as we conclude, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You're the only person I can think of that gave the perfect response to such a question. Came to mind, and it brings to mind that of none other than the great Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said this on a time in a speech when he was responding from those who have for years told us to just wait a minute. The time is not right. And he said, I'm tired of waiting. We are tired of waiting. And then he said at the end, the time is always right to do right. So therefore, you all, what this tells us is that every day is worthy of blessings and healings to the suffering of others. You know, we are to live each day unto the Lord. What we do on Sunday, how pious we are, you know, how submissive we are to the word, the voice, the power of God. Well, we are expected to live this way each and every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as well as Sunday. So what we do on Sunday, we can do on Monday. We can do on Monday, we can do on Sunday. So we can bless a person on Tuesday. We should be able to bless a person any day because every day we live unto the Lord. So I guess the answer is, you know, as Martin said, the time is always right to do right, which means, yes, it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath of the month. Again, with that being said, y'all, we thank you once again. At this end, we close with prayer. No, actually, I was expediting according to our Bible study. I want to turn it over to Desmond for the reading of our Bible story. What is not the Bible story, but the prayer. Desmond, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, if you would read our prayer for us, and I will conclude with our church creed. Yes, sir.
Okay. The prayer will be found on page number 15. The prayer is read, Lord, thank you, your healing power. May I remember that whenever and wherever I encounter sickness, to seek your healing power first. Our bodies are yours, and they are perishable. May we rejoice knowing that may we rejoice while we are on earth. You will care for us as you prepare for us our eternal home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Devin. At this time, we will read our church school creed. I believe in my AME church school must grow and grow, and that I must make it a priority to make it so. Every member a Christian, every Christian a worker, every worker trained so that a worker need not be ashamed. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You all, we want to thank each of you again for coming out to Sunday school on our second Sunday community Sunday school experience. At this time, you all, if there are any questions, announcements, anything anyone desire to share or just say, this is the opportunity. The mic is now open. Is there anyone? Okay, very excellent. Again, you all want to thank you for allowing us to, you know, improvise as we did so, and thanking Desmond for his participation, and each of you again for coming out this evening and participating in our Sunday school lesson. We want to ask you all to continue to pray for each other at all times, because we need prayer and we need it daily and we need it from each other. So with that being said, you all, again, we ask God to bless you this evening, that your evening is pleasant and you will have a pleasant night week coupled with a wonderful week to come. With that being said, God bless you. We love you. Have a good night, everyone. Good night.